Salams and welcome. You are listening to Loving and Living the Quran. This podcast is about practical spirituality, about how to live the timeless message of the Quran in modern times. Please come back often and share with others as well. This is season 2 and contains recordings of live lectures delivered in Toronto in October 2015.
Series of lectures, and just to do a brief recap, a little review of what we've been talking about. So we have been talking about how the Quran certifies that the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil farajahu.
That he is certified by Allah to have the highest level of akhlaq. Right, and then also in the Quran we are taught to follow his example. In other words, we are also supposed to develop what is called nobility of character or makaram al-akhlaq. Then we started talking about, we also asked, what does the Prophet himself say about his mission? And in fact, the Prophet himself said that he had been sent, he had been given the job of perfecting the akhlaq of the ummah. So taking those things in mind, we then asked the question, what first of all is akhlaq and what does makaram al-akhlaq look like? Okay, so what we did was we first did a little definition of what is akhlaq, and basically we said that there are two aspects to the human being. One is our khalq, which is what you see outside, which is our body, our organs, and the other is the khulq, which is the inside, which is what is called our internal world. It is our inner disposition. It is what you could say our emotions, the things that that we do, virtues as well, right? Our character. And then we said that given that we want to develop this, and given all of these things, in fact, development of character or developing akhlaq is our access to Allah. Because we said that given that He is the All Pure, that He is generosity Himself, He is Hilm, He is Sakha, our access to Him is through the development of our own character, right? Then we looked at hadith from the sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil farajahum.
Who gave us basically a blueprint of what nobility of character looks like. So he starts by hadith saying that these are the qualities that we love in people. Okay, so again, it's very good information for us. Why? Because we call ourselves Muhibbe Ahlul Bayt, we love them and we want to follow them. Here is he, the Imam, telling us how we can get that reciprocated love. Okay, so he starts by saying some qualities that we like: people who are intelligent, who are discerning. Discerning means what? That they can, they have some sort of understanding or some perception, right? Then he gives a list of 11 qualities that we should pray for. He says, if you don't have them, pray for them, and if you have, thank Allah for them. So taking that as our inspiration, we have been going through day by day, looking at one or more of those qualities and how we can develop them. We also talked about transformation. In other words, if we want to develop some quality and we have some sort of awareness that, this is where I'm struggling or this is where I'm lacking, what are the steps by which I can do that? And again, to put it very, very briefly, we basically said that obviously the first thing starts with an awareness. So the idea is that when we notice something in someone else, it's very likely that that's where we are struggling. So that should give us information and feedback, right? That if I keep thinking that everyone else is, that I can't trust anyone, maybe I should look at that within myself. So it starts with awareness, it starts with an intention, definitely, that this is something I want to work on, because again, in the theory of change, there can be a lot of things that may be lacking in me or wrong with me or things that I need to work on. But if I am not on that path, in the sense, if I don't feel that this is important, if I don't make an intention, obviously it's not going to happen, right? So we make an intention, and what we recommended was obviously to start small, because what happens is that, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of very ambitious failures. What does that mean? So often we get very motivated, we get very inspired, especially in months like Muharram, and we want to change everything. And we have all of these plans, but we have all of these ideas, but none of them are really, you know, step-by-step plans on how to do it, number one. And number two, we get, you know, the inspiration wears off very quickly, and then we're left with the hard work and we don't know what to do next, right? So what we recommended was to take one or two minor things that you want to change. Because what happens is when we start making little changes in life, it builds what is called momentum. You know, one of my favorite areas of study is change, because obviously the kind of work I do is getting people to change, you know, helping them, supporting them in getting the results that they want. So it makes sense that you do things which will lead you to success. So the idea is that if we start making small changes, we won't, you know, it won't be some big drama, but the idea is if we keep a track of it, we will see how far we've come in a very short while, right? Talking about that, we also talked about the importance of tracking. Tracking means what? Keeping tabs, doing what is called mahasiba, to see, you know, how is this looking for me? Where am I succeeding? Where am I failing? Okay? And the idea again with tracking is that it means that you are giving it attention. Whenever you give anything attention, it grows in your life. So oftentimes where we are struggling in our lives is because we are giving a lot of attention to things which are not working for us, isn't it? So here what we've been trying to do every day is actually look at how we can shift our attention to from what we don't want to actually where we want to go. So again, focusing on the direction that we want to go rather than focusing on all that is, you know, what we don't like. The virtues that we have talked about till now, does anyone remember? We started with contentment. We started, the first thing we talked about was contentment. Then we talked about sabr. We talked about shukr, and we talked about hil. Right. So again, shukr and gratitude is the same thing, right? So today, inshallah, we will be talking about another quality that the Imam said that he loves in us, and that is the quality of sakha. Sakha means generosity, right? Now, it's very interesting, you know, it didn't happen like that, but it's amazing how all the qualities are building upon one another, right? So what does sakha mean? Sakha, basically, if you look up the, you know, there's not too much written on, because some words there's a lot written on, right? We discuss sabr in a lot of detail. But for sakha, there isn't that much written, except that it is sort of a detachment or an uncaring about material possessions. In other words, that I'm not so attached to it and I'm able to give out. Okay? So, but what might help, what is written a lot about, is the quality of bukhl, which is the opposite of generosity. And again, what the Prophet taught us was that when we want to understand something, we should also look at its opposite to figure out, to get a deeper understanding of it. Can we have a salawat?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil farajahu.
So how does generosity relate to everything we've been talking about? You know, how does it relate? So again, the idea is that when we have contentment in our heart, right? When I feel that I have more than enough, okay? Then if I feel connected to everyone around me, because in order to be generous, I really need to care, right? I need to have some sort of compassion so that I can give out. So that's where hilm comes in. So remember, we talked a lot about hilm, which is, again, in English, there's no good word for it. It's often translated as clemency, but it means a lot more than that. It includes things like kindness, compassion, just being what we think of as nice. But again, nice is a very loaded word, right? So let's think of it as kindness and compassion. You know, that would probably be a good equivalent. So if I have that, plus if I have gratitude in my heart, because remember what we said was that the magic quality of gratitude was such that it is a feeling when you have contentment and gratitude together, it's almost like you have this feeling of abundance inside you. And when you have this feeling of abundance inside you, it naturally calls for sharing. Does that make sense? So we've also been talking about actions and qualities, right? And yesterday also we talked about the difference between doing something once in a while, which is, you know, an action, and the quality, having that quality within our hearts, the difference being what? That when we take an action, we have to think about it, right? So for example, if I'm trying to develop the quality of generosity, I would think about it, I would say, you know what, yeah, I'm sometimes quite mean with my things, so maybe I should develop this quality. So I will actually make an effort to do generous things. Now, does that mean I'm a generous person? Not yet. You know, inshallah, the idea is that the reason why we do small actions consistently is because obviously actions lead to development of that quality. What happens when you have that hulk inside you, when you have that quality within you, it will become automatic. You no longer have to think about it. So we all, you know generous people, right? What happens when we are with them? You have this feeling of abundance. They don't have to act, they don't have to pretend, right? Now there's a very good hadith, actually yesterday we didn't share it, but it's about him, in fact, in Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
He says that a person who doesn't have him, they should pretend. They should act as if they are Haleem till they developed that quality. Now this is, I think it's somebody's phone. So what happens is that in psychology we call this act as if. Act as if means what? So for example, if I'm trying to develop that quality of generosity, I am going to act as if I'm generous. What does that mean? So even if I don't feel generous, I am going to do the behaviors that a generous person does. Is this easy? In the beginning, not, obviously, right? Because you really have to think about it. But the idea is, you know, sometimes what happens is, and this happens in many different areas of our lives, that we wait to get the feeling before we take the action. You've all heard of the word motivation. Right? That why don't you exercise? Because I'm not motivated. Right? Now here's the problem with waiting for that to happen. It rarely does. Okay? What happens again? So can we please just take a minute to switch off everyone's phones? Just put it on, you know, airplane mode would be perfect. Thank you.
Salam.
So I'm really looking at this as an opportunity to build focus, okay, and not being distracted by what's going on. It's not easy. Anyway, what were we saying?
Motivation,
right? So the idea is that when we wait for motivation to happen before we take action, we could be waiting a long, long time, right? The people who succeed in life at anything, and we all of us succeed in different ways, right? The people who succeed in where they want to succeed, what they say is that they have as little motivation as we do, right? The only difference is that they don't wait for the motivation. They don't wait for the feeling. They just make a decision, they make an intention, and then they go for it. Right? This is actually really powerful stuff. Why? Because can you imagine if we just lived our lives based on a decision rather than wait for the inspiration to strike? And this actually becomes very, very clear when you want to produce anything. Like if you want to build anything or if you want to work at a long project which is going to take a very long time, it is essential that you basically show up for work. Whether or not you feel like it, whether or not you're motivated. And what happens is when you do that on a consistent basis, the inspiration comes, the motivation comes, right? How is this related to generosity? The idea is that if we want to become generous, what is the first quality of generosity?
Give.
Right? That they give. Like this is the hallmark of generosity is that generous people part with things. So if I want to develop the quality of generosity within myself, guess what I have to do? give, you know, it's not rocket science, and yet sometimes it's quite difficult for us. Again, when we talk about what the levels are and, you know, in what ways we can be generous, this might be. I like to make people a little bit uncomfortable every day, right? You know that already. So, what is the opposite of generosity is bukhul, right? Greed is actually the opposite of contentment, because greed is what stops us from being contented. Instead of being contented with what we have, we keep wanting more. And definitely, if we are greedy, if we are very attached to the world, it will lead to stinginess, because obviously we cannot part with things, right? The mindset of bukhul is what? We need to understand what the psychology is, why, so that we can interrupt it, okay? So the psychology of bukhul is that there is a finite, limited amount of anything. So if I have food, I only have so much. So if I, and this is mine, that's another thing, right? It's mine, it was given to me. You are separate from me. You're not part of me. So, and I'm actually in competition for you, with you. So if you and I are both hungry, there's a limited amount of food. If I give you that food, guess what? I'm going to be hungry, right? So you understand the psychology, right? Now, what I'm, again, it's very easy to understand. What is a challenge is that when we are feeling small-hearted, that's the time to think about it. You know, what is, where is this going? Where is this coming from, right? And at the basis of it, actually, the psychology of bukhul is what? It is a lack of trust in Allah. That's it, right? Again, if I think that if I'm giving you something and it is going to decrease me, then what does that mean? That I don't have faith that He will provide more than enough for me, exactly what I need when I need it, right? So now, there's a beautiful story in the... There's lots of different stories about this, but let's look at actually Surah Hashr, okay? So Surah Hashr talks about when the Ansar were in Medina and the Muhajirin came, right? Now the Ansar themselves were quite poor. They were not that well off. Some of them had good businesses, but most of them. So again, now here is, and the reason why this is so awesome is because the same thing is happening now. Think of the refugee crisis, okay? When the Muhajir came to Medina, obviously there were finite resources, they had to be shared. So here's what the Quran says, how the Ansar treated them, right? This is in Surah Hashr, Ayah 9. And those who made their abode in the city and in the faith before them love those who have fled to them. In other words, they are connected to them. They feel some sort of affinity, okay? And do not find it in their hearts a need of what they are given, and prefer them before themselves, though poverty may afflict them. In other words, if there is a basis of love, if I feel affinity towards you, it will be easier for me to give you, because I feel that you are part of me. And whoever is preserved from the niggardlessness of his soul, these are they who are the successful ones. So again, what Allah is saying here is about the Ansar, how they behaved when there was finite resources and when they had to share them. So Allah is saying because of this, they were actually successful. So again, it reminds us what? That by giving, we are never going to be in a loss, right? And we've been talking about what true success looks like, right? And so now there are two different types of bukhul. One is not to share the things that you have, in the sense to keep them for yourself and to only use them for yourself, right? That's bad enough, in the sense because you feel that this is all mine and why should I share? But a worse level of bukhul, what the ulama tell us, is when you don't even spend on yourself. So, you know, sometimes, and the reason why it's important to talk about this is because sometimes we think, we have this strange mentality that if I, that I should be hard on myself, right? That it's some sort of, it's raising me in somehow, right? But again, if unless you're giving it away, you know, or unless you are practicing some sort of what, I don't know. The idea is, if you have good things, use them. How often, how many of us save our best things for, I don't know what. Like, I really don't know what. What are we saving them for, right? This is the good stuff. Let me keep this away. So whenever you are tempted to do that, ask yourself, what? Like, I don't know. Sometimes when you don't, some people have two kitchens. You know, the there'll be a nice kitchen, and there'll be a kitchen, like, okay, why? Like, if you have a nice kitchen, what are you saving it for, right? So again, I mean, I'm not saying that that's, you know, at all being bakhil, but this is what it says, okay? The worst kinds of bakhil are those who do not spend even for their own necessities. Such people neither deserve nor get any love from anyone. As Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam explained,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil faraja.
Such persons practice misery as a safeguard against some imagined future adversity. It is ironic to see them inflicting upon themselves by their own hands the same hardships which they are guarding against. How brilliant is this? Really. Then it goes on, what a fool is he? He collects money by hook or crook, lives in a wretched condition, earns the displeasure of Allah, is despised by his fellows, and when he dies, the heirs spend that ill-gotten money extravagantly in pursuit of their sinful ambitions. The miser does not get any benefit from his wealth and earns the condemnation of Allah for his miserliness, and if that was not enough, gets his share in the punishment of the heirs also. Oh my God, that is very scary, right? So again, the idea is, and again, sometimes we think that by withholding from our children, we are doing, I don't know what, training them for something. But the idea is, if you have good things, we need to share. Generosity does start from home, right? So if you have good things, like, I don't know, and I'm really, I didn't plan this, like, I don't know where these examples are coming from, but if you have a nice powder room on the main floor, let your children use it. Really, really, like, honestly, I don't know anyone, okay, I'm saying this for myself. Maybe because I tried to stop my kids and it didn't work, maybe, and I'm just bitter, who knows. But the idea is that if we have good things, why are we depriving our own family the joy of using it? When you're sitting for dinner, go all out, right? I mean, we have somebody here who sends lovely pictures of the table laid, you know, great for family. And why not? You know, why not use the best of what we have, and that will teach us generosity to others as well, right? So basically what here Allah is saying, that being bakhil, you know, having this constriction in your heart, and I keep talking about constriction and expansion, but hopefully we know what I'm talking about, right? In the sense, you have this feeling when you are resentful against someone, when you have this feeling of bukhl, or when you have hatred towards someone, your heart doesn't feel good. There is no love overflowing. There is no generosity overflowing, right? And it is the opposite of qalbi salim, what the Quran calls, okay? So what Allah is saying, that this is basically tantamount to self-destruction, right? It's not. It's doing something for absolutely no benefit, okay? Then there's another very, very lovely story in the Quran about Qarun. So also it gives us the psychology of one who does not share, who has so many things, right? So again, you know, sometimes we think that I'll be contented when I have more. I will give when I have more. But actually, research shows that people who have less give a far higher percentage of their earnings than people who have more. Okay, I mean, we have very big examples on the other side as well, and we'll talk about that, but, you know, generally. So this is in chapter 28, which is Qasas, right? Surah Qasas. So Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qarun was one of Musa's people, but he oppressed them. We had given him such treasures that even their keys would have weighed down a whole company of strong men. His people said to him, "Do not gloat, for Allah does not like people who gloat. Seek the life to come by means of what Allah has granted you, but do not neglect your right share in this world. Do good to others as Allah has done good to you." Now, all the Mufassirin say that this means do good to others as Allah has done to you, means that give out of what Allah has given to you, right? Do not seek to spread corruption in the land, for God does not love those who do this. But he answered, "This wealth was given to me on account of the knowledge I possess. Did he not know that God had destroyed many generations before him, who had greater power than him and built up greater wealth? The guilty will be not questioned about their sins." He went out amongst this people in all his pomp, and those whose aim was the life of this world said, so now people are impressed with him. "If only we had been given something like what Qarun had been given. He really is a very fortunate man." But those who were given knowledge said, "Alas for you. God's reward is better for those who believe and do good deeds. Only those who are steadfast will attain this." Then what happens? The earth swallowed him up, right? The next day, those who had the day before wished to be in his place exclaimed, "Alas for you, O Qarun. It is God alone who gives what he will, abundantly or sparingly, to whichever he wills of his creatures. If God had not been gracious to us, he would have caused the earth to swallow us too. Alas, indeed, those who deny the truth will never prosper." Okay, such a beautiful passage, right? So now, what is he thinking? First of all, that this is from me. I earned this, right? And sometimes when we work very hard and we are blessed, with the result of that in this world, we think that there is something that I've done, right? It's a good idea to really remind yourself about how many people are working much harder than you, and really the monetary thing has very little to do with effort, right? So again, he thinks that if he doesn't remember his generosity towards Allah, there is no way he can give out. Because remember what we said yesterday, that it is like when you give to a child a present and it's a very, very distracting and lovely present, they forget to thank you. They're so engrossed in the presence. And that is what our whole life is like. Because we've been given so many blessings by Allah, we've completely lost touch with him, and we forget the source of the thing, right? So also that by being generous, we can use our wealth to make our akhirah. So what the Prophet taught us was that either you are shown mercy by it or you are punished by it. In other words, this, if we think of it, if of all our blessings as an amana, as trust to given to us to see how we are going to use it. If we use it in the best way, it's not a bad thing. We will actually gain a lot of sawab for it. And yet we can, basically make our akhira depending on how we use it. So now there's a really nice story, and I'm sure some of us may have heard it, about Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wajil farajah.
So it said that the Prophet was once given 300 gold coins. Okay, he must have got it from one of his ashab. And of course he gives it to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then Imam Ali says, "I will," he gets very excited and he says, "I will use this for good." So after the Isha namaz, he makes an intention and he says, he takes 100 of those gold coins and he says, "I'm going to give this away in the way of Allah, and I pray that Allah accept what I give." So as soon as he gets out of the masjid, he sees this old woman, he doesn't ask any questions, gives him the money. The next morning he hears all his companions talking amongst themselves saying, "Did you hear what Ali did? He gave 100 gold coins to a prostitute." So Imam hears this and he gets quite upset. The next day, after Isha namaz, he says again, "I'm going to go and give this money in charity." He takes 100 gold coins, he goes out and he sees a man, he gives it to the man. The next morning, he wakes up and his companions are talking amongst themselves. Did you hear what Ali did last night? He gave 100 gold coins to a thief. So Imam is quite upset. He goes home and he says, tonight I will give some more. So after the third night, he takes the 100 gold coins. After Isha Namaz, he goes out into the bazaar. He sees a man. He gives him the 100 gold coins. Goes to sleep. In the morning, the companions are talking again. Did you hear what Ali did last night? He gave 100 gold coins to a very rich man. Okay. So anyway, Imam comes home and he talks to the Prophet and, he's quite concerned. And Prophet says that Jibreel just came to me and informed me that your charity has been accepted. The person that you gave, the woman that you gave the money to, obviously she was a prostitute because she was very poor. She went home, she has set aside that capital and she is now looking to settle down and start a family. The man, the thief that you gave the 100 gold coins to, he realized the error of his ways. Again, he didn't need to feed his family anymore. So he has got a little capital for himself and he has repented and come back to Allah. The rich man that you gave the 100 gold coins to had not given zakat or khums for a very long time. When you gave him that money, he came home and he said, woe be to me. This is, I have so much and I am not giving. Ali, who has nothing, has given away everything that he had. So he has actually calculated his zakat for his whole life and has now given that. So Ali, due to your charity, three people have come to the right path.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil farajahum.
So what can we learn from this story? Often what happens is that we get an instinct to give. And what happens? Mind chatter. Do they believe it? Do they deserve it? You know what, that organization, they charge a lot of admin fees. That organization, I've heard they don't use the money properly, right? That organization, no, they give to these kinds of people, right? And we do that to our children too, because children are pure. When they see something on TV, they will want to give. Please do not stop them. The idea is, yes, obviously all of us have worked hard, or our husbands have, or someone has worked hard for their money, right? If we are going to use that same money that we were going to give to that organization and give it somewhere else, then fine. The idea is, often what happens is we get inspired and we second guess ourselves and we talk ourselves out of it, and then what happens is that we lose that opportunity. So again, the idea to build generosity in children as well is that if they are giving, the most important thing is that they are giving. That's the most important thing. Who they are giving to, again, it's really not up to us to judge. Think of it this way. When we go to a restaurant, for example, and you calculate the tip, that tip that we calculate, right, is it 10%, 15%, 20%? How much does that tip mean to you, those two extra dollars, right? Is it going to make any difference in your lifestyle? But think about the person who is on the recipient of that tip, right? If they're a poor student, or, you know, people in generally waiting tables in restaurants are not well off, you know, and they depend. Like, that money is going to mean a lot more to them than it does to you. So if you leave a little extra, what is the big deal, right? And again, obviously I'm reminding myself, okay? So now, we know that there are levels of giving. We can give what we don't really need, right? Which is called beggarly giving. Right? In other words, when we're cleaning the house, you're decluttering all the rubbish that comes out, right? Now, the thing is that decluttering is a very good thing. All for it, right? I think we should keep the flow going. Especially when we buy stuff, we should keep giving out stuff as well, right? But let's not confuse that with generosity. It is definitely, it's a good thing. It's getting your house in order. It's productive. It has a lot of benefits, but it is not generous. Friendly giving is when you give, I see a lot of people getting uncomfortable. Friendly giving is when I give something that I like. It's not the best, but it's something which is good. I would use it, but I'm not. Okay? That's not bad. And then there is kingly giving. Kingly giving means what? That you give something that you love. Because what does the Quran tell us? لَن تَلَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain to piety until you give that which you love. Right? So again, the idea is that when we have contentment, hilm, or gratitude, all of these things, then detachment from possessions is almost like a next step to raise our level of spirituality. Right? Are we in a mood for another story?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil farajah.
So one day he went to the market with only 8 dirhams. On the way he saw a female slave crying. He asked her, why was she crying? She replied, my master sent me with 2 dirhams to buy something for him, but I have lost those 2 dirhams. The Prophet gave her 2 dirhams from his money and continued towards the market with only 6 dirhams. There he bought a shirt for 4 dirhams and headed for home. On the way he saw an emaciated old man crying, sitting unclothed, saying, whoever clothes me, may God clothe him with heavenly clothing. The Prophet, upon seeing this, clothed him with the shirt he had bought and once again headed for the market. There he bought a shirt for 2 dirhams. On his way home, once again he saw the same female slave. She was sitting and crying. The Prophet asked, what happened? She replied, I bought that which was I supposed to buy, but now I'm afraid I'll be punished for being late. The Prophet told her, show me the way to your house. He followed her until they arrived at the door of one of the Ansar. The men were absent, but only the women were at home. The Prophet greeted them from behind the door, saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The women recognized the Prophet's voice, but did not reply to him until he said so 3 times. At that point, they said, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May our parents be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of God. The Prophet asked them, did you not hear my voice? They said, yes, we did, but we wanted you to greet us a good deal for us and our children with peace many times, and that's why we didn't reply. So the Prophet said, your female slave is late and she is afraid of your punishment, so for my sake do not punish her. They said all together, we have accepted your intercession, forgiven her punishment, and due to your blessed footsteps we have freed her. The Prophet turned back and said, I have never seen 8 dirhams more blessed than these. They have turned fear into safety, freed a slave, and clothed 2 unclothed people. Okay. So again, the idea is that we really cannot measure the impact, you know, of what generosity does. Now, what are some of the other ways that Allah motivates us, right? So the Prophet also said, the generous person is near to Allah, near to people, near to the garden, and far from the fire. The miser, however, is far from Allah, far from people, far from the garden, and near to the fire, right? Now the idea is, again, when we look at these ahadith, which is what we've been doing throughout, is again look at them and see what is the science behind this hadith, and the way, what does it mean when it says that we are near to the people and near to the garden. So garden, you know, Jannah, we know that is a place of peace, right? And it's a place of peace and happiness. And we can feel that peace and happiness, we can get glimpses of that right here, right? We know that. So how can generosity give us those feelings of love, blessings, abundance? There's a lot of research, again, like gratitude, generosity is one of those things that is studied quite a bit. Now, a lot of interesting research. First of all, it's very clear that the more people give, the happier they are. So, you know, there's this misconception that success leads to generosity and happiness, right? what research has found, that it is actually generosity that leads to happiness and success. Okay, so, and the strange thing is, and again this is what I keep coming back to, that Allah has made our biology to be in complete obedience to Him. So when we are doing, inculcating the virtues, our body is working, our biology is really worshipping Allah by working perfectly at that time. Okay, when you give, when you are generous, it lights up the pleasure centers of your brain. So when people did this this experiment, they expected that it would be the what is called the executive center, the things that make us think, they would light up because they would be thinking about, you know, what to give. The strange thing was, they said that it was the same centers that if you eat chocolate, the kind of high you get, that's the kind, you know, that's the same pleasure center that lights up when you are feeling generous. Now, despite that, they said most people are not generous. So most, like 85% of the Americans where this thing was done, give less than 2% of their income, right? So why don't people do it? Because actually they talk themselves out of it. The same thing that we were talking about, right? So even though they will get this boost in happiness if they're more generous, what happens is that they talk themselves out of it because they don't know. Okay. So the idea is the more you give, the happier you are. However, so the researchers were asked, you know, they had a long interview and they were asked this question. So can we fool this whole system, right? If I know that I want to become happier and I give it just for that reason, will I get the same benefit? Must be someone like me, right? They said, no, actually you don't. Just like if you pursue happiness, like if you want to be happy and you, you know, you... That's not the way to be happy. You need to do certain things to be happy. Similarly, with generosity, you cannot do certain things with the intention that this will become, this will make me happier, right? You actually have to start giving and without any like preconceived notions, and then the benefits come, which was, I thought, you know, really amazing, given that we had always talked so much about intention, you know, the value of intention, because again, in Islam, if we don't do it for the right niyyah, it's completely like we might as well not do it, right? So now, how do we begin to become more generous? You know, that's the million-dollar question, right? I think the first thing is to understand that generosity is definitely much more than money. Okay? We always talk about developing the generosity of heart and the generosity of spirit. What does that mean? Generosity of heart and spirit means that whatever I have been given, I will give out of. Why? Because I feel this thing of sharing, I feel love for you, I feel connected to you, so I will automatically want to share what I have with you. So for example, obviously money is the most obvious one, but knowledge. Now knowledge, we always think of, oh, I don't have any degrees, so what am I going to share, right? Do you have any great weight loss secret or a recipe that you have been guarding, you know, which has come down to your 3 generation and never left your family? You know, that would be a really good thing to share. Okay. Time. You know, we say that we can make everything. Time is like the most scarce resource for us, isn't it? So the best gift we can give someone is our time, because in fact, if we're giving somebody our time, it's actually like giving them part of our life, because we can't, no matter what we do, we can't get that time back, right? We have emotional generosity. What does emotional generosity mean? It means that if I see somebody struggling, I offer a word of encouragement, you know, praise. A lot of times we see the person struggling, but for some reason we feel that if we tell them something nice, I don't know what would happen. But the idea is, if you see someone and if a good word can lift their day, it would be such an easy way to spread goodness. So easy, right? But on the other hand, we also need to learn to receive good words. So here's a challenge for all of us, including myself, that next time if somebody says thank you or you know, you're good, or something, you cooked well, or whatever you did, just say thank you without making an excuse. It's for women, it's really challenging, right? Because we try to demean ourselves all the time. But if we want to be generous ourselves, we also have to allow other people to be generous. So when we're allowing other people to be generous, it means that we receive their gifts with grace. We don't try to make them feel. So if somebody is doing something for you, alhamdulillah, say thank you. You know, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, fine. You know, that's, but, you know, just accept it. And obviously we have the gift of clemency. So what is, and clemency, we talked about that yesterday, right? Hill. So what does the Quran say? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالزَّرَّاءِ وَالْعَازِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ وَالْعَافِيَنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who spend, so it's very related. Those who spend when they are in tough times as well as in ease, so who give out of their wealth and who restrain their anger and pardon people. So it's connected, generosity of giving is connected to generosity of spirit, not holding a grudge, letting it go. Exactly what we talked about yesterday, having compassion, letting, you know, good things, little things slide. Okay. So again, just a little baby steps of cultivating generosity. Remember that we do not need to feel generous in order to give. So we need to make an intention. Again, what research shows is that people who do it on a regular basis, like say for example you make a decision and you set up a system by which you are reminded and you set aside, and of course I'm not talking about taxes here, I'm not talking about Islamic taxes or anything like that, right? We are talking about beyond that. Right? So if I set up a system of giving which is automatic, I will give a lot more than when I wait for the situation to arise or wait for someone to ask me. And this, by the way, was done, this research was done in Catholic communities to see, you know, if it's, because some people say, oh, I give when the need arises or if something's happening. So it's a good idea to set a certain floor, like to have a minimum benchmark, you know, this is, I'm setting up a direct debit or whatever, and then, you know, whatever else is happening is, you know, is extra, exactly. So there's this person, and she's a fashionista, but she does this amazing thing every morning, is that she sends one email to someone for their benefit with expecting nothing in return. So it could be something like, I know somebody who would be really good if, you know, you're working on something, somebody else is working on something, I know the two of you, she would connect them. If there's a piece of information that would really benefit you, she would send that. So it's, again, it is doing something with zero expectation and nothing which benefits her. She will just, and that's how she starts her morning every single day. Now, we wouldn't think of that as generosity, but that's exactly what it is, right? Be generous with your attention. That's a huge thing in today's day and age, right? Because we're also distracted and we're doing 1 million things at one time. If you're generous with that time and attention, means that when I'm with you, I am with you, right? That allows me to be generous emotionally as well. Because if I'm with you and I really, you know, there are people who will, like, you watch them and they're saying some deep, dark, you know, things that they're upset about, but the person is on their phone, so they completely miss that, right? Emotional generosity would be to actually catch those cues and offer the support when the person needs it. Be generous with your enthusiasm. you know, like, this is it. The death rate is hovering at 100%. This is it. This is the time we have. So what are we saving it for? The good dishes, the good food, our joy, our enthusiasm, our love for each other. So if you have, if you're feeling love for someone, and yesterday we talked about that as well, and you haven't shared it, ask yourself, if not now, then when? Right? When are you going to share it? So to recap, what are, and we do this right every day, what are the thoughts of generosity, what are the feelings of generosity, and what are the actions of generosity? So the thoughts of generosity are what? I have enough, there is enough, God will provide, and there is the abundance mentality, that there is more than enough for everyone, right? The feelings of generosity are contentment, gratitude, compassion, right? Abundance. Again, this feeling of abundance in the heart that calls to be shared. And the action is to contribute. Contribute your time, your effort. You know, volunteers are like...
Thanks for listening. If you found the podcast useful, please visit www.marziahassan.com for a lot more resources on practical spirituality and tools to strengthen families. Oh, and if you liked what you heard, hop onto iTunes and rate our podcast to help share the message with more people. Until next time, salam alaikum, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be with you.